2 Kings chapter number 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 4. When you find it there, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. I love the word of God. Because it's not just something that was written for the people of the time when the scripture was written, but it was also written for us here tonight. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It says, "Now there cried London." No, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." How many likes debt? Jonathan, you like debt? You like to be able to have your control of your own money. Well, we find here, she says, "And the creditor is come to take unto him my sons, my two sons, to be bondmen." And verse number 2 states this, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house." She had nothing left in the house. Nothing of value in the house. Except, she said, save a pot of oil. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you for your power, your presence that we felt. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, that we would fall in. God, we'd fall underneath the altar tonight. God, that we would draw closer to you. God, that you might be lifted up. God, you said if you lift it up, you draw all in. God, I pray you'd help us to decrease in our own will and our own way. God, that you might increase inside of us, that we might have that same effect on mankind. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us tonight, God, that we would begin to realize, Lord, there's nothing else that matters but you. God, if we have you, God, that we're able to lead, God, and follow in after your will, and you can lead us, God, into greener pastures. I pray you'd help us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We find here this latter portion of the scripture where she says that she doesn't have anything but a pot of oil. That word oil here in the scripture in the Greek or in the Hebrew means anointing. What is it they anointed kings with? They anointed them with oil. I want to preach this for a little bit here tonight on a little anointing. Just a little anointing. Now, I think this is so interesting. I'm going to take just a little bit of time here before I get started talking about the anointing. And it's amazing how it correlates with everything that we have to have and we have to operate in the world that we live in today. Oil was a representation of the anointing of God. How many of you guys go out to a brand new car, pull the oil plug out, and say, "I don't need any oil in this thing," and let it all run out and see how far you can get? Does that work, Sister Janet? No. How many of you guys, whenever your oil light kicks on your car, you're reading your manual, it says, if the oil light kicks on, you're supposed to turn the vehicle off as soon as possible, find assistance, check the oil level. Oil is an amazing product that we still have use of today. Now, last night, I had, when we went to Iowa, I went down there, up there with Brother James and his father-in-law and Brother Johnson and Brother Joe. We went out and we celebrated, Brother Larry. We celebrated our Second Amendment right. Went out to the gun range and we burned a bunch of powder. midst of burning all that powder, those firearms have to, in order for them to operate properly, they have to first of all be oiled. But whenever I brought them back, I have to clean them in order to make sure they continue to operate properly. Do you know what we clean those with? Oil. If we have the oil, the anointing of God in our life, it doesn't matter. Those things were filthy, Brother Matthew. Filthy. As I begin to clean them, I take oil and I pour it in an old turkey baster, and I clean all the parts, and I'm just covered in oil. And it's dirt, and it's grime, and it all gets cleaned off those parts. But after it's all cleaned off those parts, I still have to go wash my hands. Because not only do I have the residue of what I was messing with, the dirt and the grime, but I have the residue of the oil. The oil doesn't just go in there to the wash and just wash off easily. You can scrub and you can clean. Brother Donald, you know this. He could probably preach this a little bit better than I could. He knows what it means to have grease and oil. It don't just wash off. You have to get some degreaser to be rid of that slime. Now, there's times in our life, and I want to start to preach here for just a minute. There's times in our life where we've got the anointing of God in our life. We have that oil. We don't have anything else save the oil. But a lot of times we forget about it because we don't see the value of it. I'm here to tell you tonight that oil is valuable. The anointing of God is valuable. Try removing oil from things in your life. Try cooking without oil, ladies. What's going to happen? You're going to scorch something. You're going to burn it. Try operating a piece of machinery without oil in it. It doesn't work. So many times we try to operate in our own self-power, our own synthetic oil, if I can use that phrase here for a moment, something that we've conjured up, something that we've tried to make manifest so that it can carry us on through. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you might not have anything else in your household. You might be discouraged. You might be depressed. But let me tell you tonight, if you're saved, you have the opportunity to operate in the power of the anointing of God. Because, amen, we find that He has a desire to use us, amen, that we might be, amen, the sons and the daughters of God. We find here in this story, this woman, she was the wife of one of the prophets. Her husband worked in the ministry. Every one of us in here are being used and operated in some form of ministry, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. How many of us in here are saved? All right, guess what? If you're saved, you're in the ministry. And so when you rub up against this world, are you rubbing off some oil, that anointing that God has placed in your life? Or are they getting just some old grime, some old rust? Are they getting turned off by you when they rub up against you? Now, whenever we try to keep something from corroding, guess what we use? Oil. I want to tell us we got some oil in our life. Things might not be going right, but we have access, amen, to the Father, amen, who there is no shadow of turning. Amen. We have access through the Word of God, through getting down on our hands and knees and crying out and praying to Him. We have that access. We find that this woman, that she went to Elisha and said, I'm fixing to lose the only two things I have left that are of value. She had already sold everything else in the house. He said, what do you have? All I've got is just a pot of oil. Brother Cisneros preached Sunday night on an empty water pot you take a water pot, you can take water, you can take this water bottle right here. You could empty it of its content. About to empty it right there. Could empty it of its content. Put just a couple drops of the oil in it. Slosh it around in there, and it could feel different crevices, and you couldn't even see that the oil is even there. But let me tell you, put water back in there, and you will begin to see the oil to reappear, the residue of the power of God. When it seems like there's nothing left, I want to encourage you tonight. If you are saved and you are blood bought, amen, church, you have that oil, amen, that the sweet presence of God can begin to place in us. Amen. We have access, amen, to the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said, I must go away, amen, that I can send another comforter, that he can be with you. Amen. He's not going to leave you, but he'll be with us always if we'll simply be willing to acknowledge our need, amen, for constant maintenance. Amen. If you drive a car for over 3,000 miles, your maintenance light's going to kick on because it's time for an oil change. How long's it been since you pulled up to the altar of God, amen, and popped your spiritual hood and allow the presence and the power of God to see what's left? Amen. He might look at it. He might say, you're all out of gas. The tires are flat. But there's a little bit of oil. Amen. If you've got oil in your life, amen, you can be willing to move. Amen. And be repaired. And be encouraged. And be set afire for God once again. Verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. And I thought this is very interesting. He said, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Your house is empty. All you've got, one thing of oil. But I want you to go to all your neighbors. I want you to fill your house with the very thing that people think are worthless. An empty pot. How many likes carrying around a whole bunch of empty water bottles in your floorboard? Unless you're a clutter bug. Some of you guys are grinning. I go out and look at the back seat of your vehicle, find a whole bunch of empty Mountain Dew cans, Brother Robert, or Dr. Pepper cans. It's a whole bunch of empty stuff. I am the world's worst. Nobody ever rides with me in my car. I usually stop at the gas station I'll go by the grocery store and I'll buy some water. I'll drink those bottles of water, Brother Larry. And every time I get done with them, and I'm usually going down the road, it usually goes shoop into the back seat. And lo and behold, 3 months later, nobody's rode with me. And Sister Janet, somebody's got to ride with me, and it's usually not just one. It's usually two or three people. Can't just stick them in the front seat where it's halfway clean. There's still going to be stuff in the floorboard because when the back seat gets full of bottles, Brother Robert, guess where the other ones go? Whoop, right there. And I never think about it when I stop at the gas station because I'm in a hurry. She was commissioned to go to all the neighbors' houses, borrow as many vessels as she could. What if those vessels needed repaired? To borrow vessels, empty. And not a few. Your house is empty. Let's fill it up. Verse number 4. And it says, and when thou art come in with all the vessels, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour it out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when, I'm going to go ahead and finish reading this story here, and then we're going to preach a few more minutes. Amen. Verse number 5 says, so when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Once you've had contact with the anointing of God, there is still going to be a residue. I know several individuals right now that have backslid and turned and ran away from God, Brother Matthew. But you sit down and have a conversation with them, and you will find there is still a residue. They still remember what they used to be. They still remember, Brother Robert, what the power of God felt like. It's still there. Amen. That's why I'm preaching towards the backslider tonight. Amen. But I want us to realize just a little anointing. The anointing stayed. We can find it doesn't matter what we go through in life. It might seem like the world is crashing down around us. Paul, when he was out on the ship and the ship was being torn apart, amen, it was mentioned about the anchors tonight. Whenever they cast those four anchors out, those anchors were a symbol of hope, of trying to stay them in the position that they were at. There's going to be things that's going to come against us in life. It seems like we're being tossed to and fro. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we have that hope. Amen. There might be nothing else left in the house. But if you can remember, amen, how to honor the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost, that oil will never leave us. Amen. It'll never depart from our house. If we're willing to, amen, amen, begin to realize the value, the importance of it. Amen. How many times do you go out to something that's value to you and you just kick it and throw it in the ground, in the dirt? No, we hold it close to us because it's valued. Amen. If this woman would have said simply, I ain't got nothing left. This pot of oil, just throw it out. I ain't even got no food to use to cook it with. I don't have any more children that I can put the oil on and begin to anoint them and dedicate them, amen, to God. Amen. But we find that she kept it. Amen. I want to encourage you tonight. It might seem like things, amen, aren't always going all rosy. Amen. But if you begin to realize all you got to have is a little anointing, amen, begin to look back into the Word of God and begin to find encouragement and strength. We find David. He had lost everything at Ziklag. He's found down by the brook, discouraged and depressed. His own men were thinking about turning on him. What we find is David encouraged himself. Oh, hallelujah. Because he remembered a time when he was a boy and the prophet of God came and cracked open a bottle of oil and anointed his head with oil. Amen. He encouraged himself because he remembered, amen, the promises of God. If we can begin to look back, it might seem, amen, that somebody's lived 9 decades without turning to God. But because there's breath, there's hope. Amen. Just a little more anointing. Just one more prayer. Amen. We find that the heavens rejoiced. Amen. At the very last, amen, breath this woman had, she gave her life. Some people say, well, what a waste. She ran from God for 92 years. I say, no, what a testimony. Because it shows the extent of His mercy. How far that oil will go. It doesn't run out. You can pull your spiritual plug. Say, I'm done with God. I'm done. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a song leader. I don't want to play an instrument. I don't want to be a Christian. Expecting that the oil will just all run out and you can run away from God. But because there's a residue, a whisper in the darkness of the night, I'm still here for you. There's still a cross that I laid my life down on. Amen. Amen. Psalms chapter 20 and verse number 5. I'm going to read through several verses here pretty quick. Psalms chapter 20 and verse number 5 says, "We will rejoice in the salvation and in thy name of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord, amen, fulfilleth all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses." Amen. "But we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalms 23 and verse 5 says, "Thou preparest, amen, a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Amen. Not only is he getting it, but everyone that's around him, even his enemy, are getting a sample of what, amen, what the psalmist here is talking about. He said it runs over. It begins to, amen, touch those that are around me. Amen. To my left, to my right, behind me, in front of me. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. We can look at Psalms chapter 28 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Who is his anointed? Amen. Just a little bit of anointing. We find there in Peter, "But we are a chosen generation." Who is a chosen generation? You are a chosen generation. Who is a royal priesthood? You are a royal priesthood. What was given to the priest when they were brought to the temple and dedicated before the Lord? They had a plate upon their forehead, said, "Holiness unto the Lord." They would take that gold plate and they would begin to pour the anointing oil, the oil of God, amen, upon their forehead. And it wouldn't only stay there, but there was gold, amen. They would find gold strands and went down through the garment, and that oil would follow that place, amen, all the way to where they would step, where they would walk. Their whole garment was consumed by the residue of the anointing of God. If we would begin to realize, it don't matter what we're going through, but the anointing of God is there, amen, to direct us, to give us hope, to give us that liberty, even when we're not in discouragement and just down in despair, he is still there. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Sister Lindsay, I'm fixing to close here in just a few minutes. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 38. All this woman had was just a little oil. We find here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met with it shall be measured to you again." Jesus' word speaking here, he says, "Give, and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing." I want to encourage you tonight, church. There is a place where the living waters flow. If you'll get under the spigot of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, say, "Lord, rain on me. soak me to the bone. When I put stuff back together, and I'm using oil, I use it very liberally. I'm not stingy with it. Brother Larry, neither is God. He pours in a blessing that cannot be contained. The windows of heaven are opened when we're obedient to the presence of God. We have something that we're supposed to give Him. We're supposed to give Him this vessel. Give Him our spirit, our soul, our body. What's the scripture say? Our body is a living sacrifice. What are you doing with your sacrifice today? Is it being anointed? Oh, church. Is it being oiled? Is it being set at the table of the Father to be used in the service that He has called you to? Amen. Just a little anointing. Saul. Samuel went and anointed him. Told him, this is of God. I want to paint you this little picture here as in closing. This anointing is of God. It's not of man's hands. It's of God's. Paraphrasing here just a little bit. Saul went through his life and he wasted the anointing of God. How many of us here tonight, through salvation, through the laying on of hands, through the power of God that He's bestowed upon us, through the Holy Ghost, have been touched? Brother Terry, we have been touched by that oil, by that anointing. How many of us are going to take that and waste it? I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't have to be wasted. These altars are open. Let's all stand. Let's come to the spigot tonight, church. Let's not be satisfied with what we got last week. Those kids, amen, down at youth camp, they're getting to feel the touch and the power of God. Reason is because there's some praying mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles that have been standing under the spigot, letting the anointing of God splash off of them onto those around us. Let's not be complacent. Let's not be satisfied. Amen, church. Let's begin to allow the presence and the power of God to saturate us, to consume us. Let that oil of God flow.